What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Pompliano, and this is The Joe Pomp Show. Hope everyone's having a great week so far. Today, we're going to be breaking down Liberty Media's new $4.5 billion deal for MotoGP. After turning Formula One into one of the world's fastest growing sports leagues, Liberty Media is now looking to run the same exact playbook with MotoGP, announcing a deal this week to acquire the top motorcycle racing series in the world for $4.5 billion. Now, for those of you that don't follow MotoGP, think of it as the same thing essentially as Formula One, but instead of cars, you have motorcycles. This deal would give Liberty Media an 86% stake in the parent company, with MotoGP's management team retaining 14% equity upside. There were two other bidders in on this process, mainly Qatar Sports Investments and TKO Group Holdings, the parent company of the UFC and WWE. Each of them also tried to buy the racing series before Liberty Media closed the deal. And if this deal goes through, which certainly isn't a foregone conclusion given the EU regulators forced CVC Capital Partners to sell MotoGP in 2006 after they purchased Formula One as well. They said this was anti-competitive and they weren't allowed to own both, so CVC had to offload MotoGP. They kept Formula One. They ended up selling Formula One later on to Liberty Media, and now the world has come full circle. Liberty Media is now buying MotoGP too, looking to attempt to do what CVC wasn't able to do about two decades ago. Now, we don't know if it's going to get blocked. My guess is it actually won't. The television market in some of the countries that they had problems with earlier has changed, and I think that Liberty Media is probably confident, given their legal team and everything else, that this deal will end up being getting passed through. And the Formula One story at this point is well documented. Liberty Media turned an under-monetized asset with out-of-touch leadership into a premier global sports property. The process included a series of intelligent moves. We're talking about starting, really, the sports docuseries trend with Drive to Survive on Netflix. And then secondly, one of the most important things I think they did was giving away the initial U.S. broadcasting rights for free to ESPN to maximize audience exposure. ESPN is now paying nearly $100 million for those rights today, and it has worked out tremendously by getting it in front of more people on television. As a result, Liberty Media is already up $8 billion on the deal, increasing F1's enterprise value from $8 billion when they bought the business to $16 billion today. Formula One was doing about $1.8 billion in revenue at the time. Today, they're doing $3.2 billion. Up 78% since 2017. And again, like I mentioned before, the per race viewership in the US, which is huge because we know that they've since added two more races in the United States, in Miami and Las Vegas, the viewership has gone through the roof. 538,000 people were watching each race in 2017. Now there are over 1.1 million people watching each race, up over 100% since 2017. And perhaps the most impressive part, my favorite stat, is that the average age of a Formula One fan has declined from 36 years old in 2017 when Liberty Media bought the series to 32 years old today. So it's dropped 4 years. And that provides the racing series with a far younger demographic than U.S. counterparts like Major League Baseball at 57 years old, the NFL at 50 years old, and the NBA at 42 years old. This success, though, will be nearly impossible to replicate, if we're being honest. The truth is that Liberty Media's acquisition of Formula One will probably go down as one of the best sports business case studies of our lifetime. And the idea that Liberty Media would be able to pull it off again within the same decade seems like an unreasonable thing to ask. However, that doesn't mean this is a bad deal. That would be like saying you need to hit a grand slam every time you get up the bat, when just a double would still win the game. And I could easily see this asset increasing by a few billion dollars over the next decade. That's because MotoGP is much more similar to Formula One than people realize. Sure, maybe the acquisition is a little more pricey, trading at roughly 8x revenue today. And you could certainly argue that the sport isn't as globally recognized as Formula One. But from a business standpoint, the two racing series are almost identical. Formula One and MotoGP are asset-light businesses. They don't own the tracks. They don't pay driver salaries, and they don't build the bikes or the cars. They simply bring the traveling circus to town, collecting eight-figure hosting fees from promoters all over the world. Hundreds of thousands of people attend the most popular races, and the parent company sells lucrative corporate sponsorships from the top down, with TV stations in countries all over the world paying them millions of dollars annually to broadcast each race. In fact, many people would consider MotoGP a more competitive racing product, with every manufacturer winning a race in 2022 and 2023, including 8 winning riders last year alone. That's obviously much different than what we've seen in Formula One with the success of not only Red Bull, but specifically Max Verstappen over the last 2 or 3 years here. Today's episode is sponsored by Hyperice. Hyper Ice is not only one of my favorite companies in all of sports, but they're also one of the fastest growing companies in sports today. Hyper Ice is the official recovery technology partner of leagues like the NBA, MLB, PGA Tour, and even the UFC. And you've probably seen athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland using their products. But Hyper Ice isn't just for pro athletes. Me, personally, I use their Hypervolt massage gun, invented heat and back wrap several times each week, and it's become an absolute game changer for my health and wellness. Not only is it helpful after hard workouts, but sometimes I just wake up and my back hurts because of how I slept. So I throw on the heated back wrap and it literally solves everything within minutes. It's absolutely incredible, the products that they built, and I want all of you to be able to experience it for yourself. So go check out Hyper Ice today and start recovering like a professional athlete. All of my listeners can use code JOE15 for 15% off their order. So make sure to go check out hyperice.com today and use code JOE15 for 15% off your order. Now, some fast facts on MotoGP, just so you guys understand the full concept of what the business looks like. There's 22 riders from 7 different countries. The bikes weigh 350 pounds and reach top speeds of 220 miles per hour. Race weekends are structured, again, very similar to Formula One. They run Friday through Sunday. Each of them has a sprint weekend, a sprint race each weekend on Saturday for 20 minutes. The races last about 45 minutes in total, but people are there all weekend. It's kind of like a festival like Formula One as well. And the top manufacturers in the sport, Honda, Yamaha, Ducati, etc., all participate in the sport as well. And if we were to dig even deeper, MotoGP has a lot of upside in my mind because it looks very similar to how Formula One looked when Liberty Media took over in 2017. The motorcycle series has a massive audience across mostly Western Europe and Asia, but they have almost no standing in America today, with only one race held annually at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. Most of the riders, outside of six-time champion Marc Marquez, have been under-marketed as personalities. Fans get little to no access via social media content from the sport's governing body. And the sport's TV rights are top-heavy too, with just four countries. We're talking about Italy, Spain, France, and Germany, representing nearly 60% of MotoGP's total annual TV rights payments. This is where Liberty Media can earn its money. They probably won't be able to combine assets and media rights negotiations. I'm talking about adding MotoGP with Formula One and going after the market and selling them together, because there would be some anti-competitive or monopolistic concerns. But there is speculation that Formula One and MotoGP will host joint events, leveraging the four circuits that both leagues use today. We're talking about Barcelona, Austin, Spielberg, and Silverstone. Liberty Media also recently promoted its first race in Las Vegas. That means that rather than licensing the content to a race promoter and collecting a check for bringing the circus to town, they themselves took $500 million off their balance sheet and invested it in the race, selling sponsorships and tickets and working with local government on approvals. And the matter of fact is that it was a huge success. I tweeted about this the other day, but Clark County, who ran the race in Las Vegas, recently released a 40-page report breaking down what happened for the race. They claim that the average visitor spent $4,100 over four nights in Las Vegas, equaling a total economic impact of $1.5 billion. They said it was the biggest sporting event by far in Las Vegas history. And most estimates say that even though the Super Bowl numbers haven't come out yet, it will be roughly two times as big as the Super Bowl was for Las Vegas. Obviously, that's tremendous, and many other cities across the country are going to be wanting to host races like that, certainly for Formula One, but I could see them wanting to do that for MotoGP as well. Now, the reason I tell you this is because, number one, promoting races is a fundamentally different business model than Formula One operated before the acquisition. And number two, Liberty Media could drastically increase its overall profitability by cutting out the middlemen and promoting the races themselves. The only problem with this is that Liberty Media really can't do this for more than a handful of F1 races each year, as their relationships with promoters are just too meaningful. But MotoGP, on the other hand, will probably do more of this in the future, especially as they add new US races that are essentially starting from scratch. I also like how Liberty Media structured the deal. They used a mix of cash, debt, and existing holding company equity to fund their 86% stake, while also keeping current MotoGP management incentivized by having them maintain the remaining 14% stake in the business. But the bottom line is clear. MotoGP is a scarce, league-level asset with millions of fans globally. Those businesses just do not come up for sale very often. The business also has an attractive financial profile already, with high free cash flow and diverse revenue streams. And Liberty Media will be able to apply the same playbook they used to double Formula One's enterprise value, from $8 billion to $16 billion. Only this time, they'll have the benefit of hindsight and a massively synergistic asset in hand. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this breakdown of Liberty Media's $4.5 billion deal to buy MotoGP. I will keep you guys updated on this process as it plays out over the coming months and coming years. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please do me a favor and share it with your friends. Otherwise, I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll talk later this week.